Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
No matter how you consume news and information, there is not a single person in the media that can deliver a message like somebody in the American public. The latest viral moment could be the best ever. A mom named Courtney Taylor, while addressing the school board in Georgia, has given a speech for the ages. She defines exactly what's wrong with the control freaks mandating how we live our lives. You have to hear this. Hey, if you think masks are good for your health, go take a look at the inside of AOC's mask. You will never wear a dark mask again. This white mask, she's so disgusting. Her mask is filled with dirt, oil, sweat, spit, makeup, dust, and who knows what else. It's going to make you want to throw up if you haven't seen it. Why in the world did she release a selfie video that showed her own disgusting hygiene and filth? Johnson County, Kansas is all but certain to lift the mask mandate at the end of next week, and they should. The numbers simply don't lie. It's pretty much over. I've got those numbers for you. Everyone in America is hiring, and nobody can find good workers. More shocking stories of bonuses and such. Now, a company is willing to pay you just to come in for an interview, even if they don't hire you. In sports, it's time for the Royals to fatten up as they face the team with the most losses in baseball. Let's roll. Hey, are you into mock drafts in the NFL? I'm really not. But I'll share you my thoughts on what I think the Chiefs' strategy is going to be in the draft, because I really don't care who the Lions or Titans pick. University of Missouri is rejoining the Big 12, right? And we list the 10 golfers that would qualify for popularity bonuses on the PGA Tour this year. It's brought to you by CBD-GC.com. My friend Stacy Higgins over at CBD-GC.com has a wonderful Mother's Day package all bundled up for you guys. If you'd like to get it, it's a $175 package, $50 off, just $125. For the bath bomb, which is a thing to put in the nice warm bath, the peptide cream, the Calm and Fuse Roll-On is phenomenal, the sleep booster, the Quartz Facial Roller for relaxation. These are products she's really going to like. CBD-GC.com. Something completely different. Relax, mom, or get mom to relax. Be pain-free, calm, no stress, and better sleep. CBD-GC.com. If you go to the website, it pops right up. The Mother's Day bundle is right there. Everything she needs. It's a tremendous Mother's Day gift for your mom or the mother of your kids. CBD-GC.com. Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick, GMC, and Excelsior Springs. Customers at Roberts Robinson say, we just make it easy. You can ask for Tim Trader on the showroom floor. He's a great guy. He's the sales manager on the floor there. Or Mike, be more than happy to help you out as well. If you'd like to, and you don't live near Excelsior Springs, you can build your car on the phone, on your laptop, in about 15 minutes. If you know what you're looking for, they'll build it and price it for you while you're on the phone. They will cut that price down so far, you'll just see it go, 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 go. They'll say you qualify for this incentive, this incentive, this incentive. We're taking this off. Here's the invoice price. You will never want to shop anywhere else, okay? Just order it built. If you want a new GM, if you want a Chevy Silverado or GMC Sierra, build it exactly like you want it. Or if you're looking at the great family of Buick SUVs, phenomenal cars. Build it exactly like you like it. That's what I did. You wait a few weeks for your car to be built, but I'm not in a hurry. If you have a ride and you're okay and you don't need a car for another couple, 3 months, great way to do it. Just get a hold of them at Roberts Robinson. You will not buy it for less, and they will walk you through the process to get exactly what you want. Online at robertsrobinson.com. Back 9 Development, the Solheim Condominiums at Grandmere. I know two people now that are getting condos at Solheim at Grandmere between the 1st and the 10th tees at Colbert Hills Golf Course. These are great for second homes, weekend getaways. There's lakes in the area. If you like the outdoors and the lake life, you can use it for that. It's lock and leave living near a couple of great lakes, Milford and Tuttle. You've got all the K-State athletics. And, of course, you can use it for your college kids or investment property. TJ will personally give you a tour of the grounds, which I'm going to be doing next week when I'm in Manhattan. Can't wait to see the Solheim Condominiums at Grandmere. The number is 785-236-0161. At the very least, go to the website and check out the great work that they do. Whether you need a contractor to do a room addition for you or build you a custom home, anywhere in Kansas City, Lawrence, Topeka, Manhattan, Back 9 Development is for you. They've got a great portfolio up on their website, back9development.com. It's the numeral 9, back9development.com. And BeStock.net, the outlet store in Olathe now with 30% off Microsoft Surface computers. 30% lower than online, Microsoft Surface. You can get them online at BeStock.net and save the big money, or walk into the store and walk out with it in Olathe at the outlet store and save big. Two ways to buy at BeStock. Online, they'll ship it right to you. BeStock, BeStock.net. Or go to the outlet store in Olathe, 14680 South Flaming Road. That's another company that's hiring right now and looking for good help. If you're looking for work, BeStock.net. It's an opportunity for you to make some money in e-commerce. All right, here we go. A mom in Georgia has maybe given the most definitive speech on how crazy liberal control over America is. You got to hear this. Hit it.
Elite Automation presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Make your building great again online at eliteautomate.com.
You know, there's certainly no shortage of places that you can consume media in this country, whether it's on your smartphone, through podcasts, reading stories, watching television, a million different ways to consume things. And that means there's a lot of people like me who make a living discussing topics, covering sports, covering news, talking about different things, engaging people, and helping busy people catch up with what they are interested in or want to know about in a timely fashion, because they don't have the time in their busy days to spend a lot of time doing it. We are media professionals, right? Some people refer to a lot of these talking heads and stuff on TV as pundits. You can categorize people any which way you want. Some are very talented, very good at what they do, break through, make a lot of money, get big jobs, and do things. Some people are lesser known, lesser impactful, but nonetheless, perhaps just as good or as intelligent, or find ways in their community to make some sort of a difference. But what I've found in so many years working in the media is there is absolutely no replacement. I mean, none. The media can never replace real life. We can talk about the dangers of being a police officer and having to make split-second decisions. And then when we see the video in Columbus, Ohio, we're like, wow, I would not be a very good cop. I don't know how I would have handled that. I might have got knifed, because I think it'd be really hard for me to even shoot a gun, to go hunting. I've never shot a deer. I don't know if I could or not. I don't know. I love these animals. I look at them, I'm like, yeah, the deer is so... I mean, I had deer in my backyard for like 20-some years. There's not a one of them at any point I ever think I could have pulled out a gun and shot them. And I recognize that hunting is an important part of, you know, taking care of the population, the herds, or all the different things of all the different animals that we have. I get it. That's environment. I get it. I understand that part. I still don't know if I could do it. What would I have done in that situation? I have no idea. I'm better off talking and saying, look, I'm just glad that the girl in the pink didn't die. That's mainly it. Somebody was lunging at her with a knife, and she was about to get cut, and I'm glad that she lived, and I think that's a heroic story. So enough on that. I'm not going into that today. But as we talk about what we do in the media, and mostly what we do is talk or write or communicate, even that, setting aside actions of real-world events, things that we see, and you say, I could never do that. That's amazing that people in the real world do that. We understand how military operations work, and we talk about how much we love and respect the military on this podcast and how important it is to our sovereignty and our freedom in the United States, doesn't mean I could go do it, right? And so you have all these media professionals, and we all talk about things that are going on, and we've talked about the pandemic till we're blue in the face, and we've clearly split as a country on this thing because the left wants to keep controlling the citizens of this country based on a virus that clearly is fading in a massive way as we're becoming vaccinated and have built-in immunity because we've had COVID. We're talking about tens and millions, hundreds of millions of people now have either been vaccinated or have had COVID in this country. We're just seeing this thing fade in a massive way, but they're trying to hang on and control. I can talk about it. Tucker Carlson could talk about it. CNN can talk about it. Everybody can talk about this thing. But sometimes you got to cut through to the core and get to real life and find real people with real experiences. And I'm not talking about blowhards who get in front of a microphone at a commission meeting and stumble around and don't know exactly what they're saying and try their best because they feel this, but they can't articulate it. Every now and then, somebody steps up in real life that you've never heard of, that is so perfect for the moment that you can't even believe it. And this is a few days old, but it took it a while for it to go viral. This is Courtney Ann Taylor, and she's from Georgia. And she went every month to her school board meeting, and she spoke. And in this clip, you will hear her talk about her six-year-old who continued to ask her, is this the month where you're going to tell them to buzz off about wearing this stupid mask that I have to wear to go to school? I can talk about this. You can have an opinion. You can tell your friends. There is nothing more effective. And this is a defining moment of how far the left has pushed America, because she tears up. She is completely articulate. She has her facts spot on that this does not affect children, and all we're doing is, well, forget me. I can't do this. She nailed it. You have to hear this. This is Courtney Ann Taylor at the school board meeting on behalf of children in this country, by the way, in the United States. CDC's mandate for masks is 2 years old and up. The World Health Organization is 5 years old and up. The UK and France are 11 years old and up. So we're doing things in this country that nobody else in the world is doing. We're doing it to our children. The left is forcing this upon our children, unlike anywhere else on earth. And Courtney Ann Taylor has had it.
Every month I come here and I hear the same thing. Social emotional health. If you truly mean that, you would end the mask requirement tonight. Tonight. This is not March 2020 anymore. We have three vaccines. Every adult in the state of Georgia that wants that vaccine is eligible to get it right now. And every one of us knows that young children are not affected by this virus. They're not. And that's a blessing. But as the adults, what have we done with that blessing? We've shoved it to the side and we've said, we don't care. You're still gonna wear a mask on your face every day, 5 and 6 year olds. You still can't play together on the playground like normal children, 7 and 8 year olds. We don't care. We're still going to force you to carry a burden that was never yours to carry. Shame on us. My six-year-old looks at me every month before I come here and she says, are you gonna tell them tonight? Tell them I don't wanna wear this anymore. And I say, baby, it's not time to fight that battle yet. I try to explain that there's so many things, but it's April 15th, 2021, and it's time. Take these masks off of my child. And I know what I'm going to be met with. But Ms. Taylor, the CDC, we did not vote for people at the CDC. We did elect leaders who do create policy. We elected the five of you. We chose you to make difficult decisions for our children. We chose you to make decisions that would be in our children's best interest, and forcing 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9 year old little children to cover their noses and their mouths where they breathe for 7 hours a day, every day for the last 9 months for a virus that you know doesn't affect them. That is not in their best interest. And this has to stop. Defend our children. My six-year-old can't come up here and say this. It has to stop. Take these off of our children.
I mean, I just love that. I just love that, and I love her for doing that. And that was raw, pure raw emotion from somebody who understands the facts, who has become engaged in seeking out the truth and the facts on behalf of her children. This is a mother protecting her child. This is not politics. This is not left or right. This isn't even about her wearing a mask. This isn't about restaurants reopening. This isn't about lockdowns or her husband losing a job or any of that. This is about my kids are stressed out. They hate this. They are not living a normal childhood. And as a mother, I want to give this to them. I want to give this back to them. And how dare us place these restrictions on our children? For what reason, nobody knows. She had unbelievably great facts. For what reason, nobody knows, other than the left controlling the entire narrative in this country, which they are so good at, it's frightening. They pass down and create cultural and social situations where we believe we are terrible people if we don't listen to the virtuous things they talk about. If we don't comply with what they do, we're awful. We're bad people. And so we do it. We do it to the point of ridiculousness, where little children are wearing masks for 7 hours all day at school. This is insanity. It has to end. It starts with us. I am 9 days mask-free. I'm not doing it. It's in my pocket. If I'm with somebody and I'm getting threatened to kick out because I'm not doing it, I'm not doing it. If I have to wear it, it's going below my chin. I'll put it on and let people know I have it and I don't believe in it. I'm done. I've had it. It's over. For me, it's over. And I think it hit critical mass ridiculousness when I saw the video of AOC yesterday. And I don't know if you saw this or not. She likes to do these little selfie videos and put them out on social media. She's got her gorgeous white mask on. And this is a woman who as much as anything, let's be honest, it's not her policies or her thoughts or her brilliance. She's not that smart. She's gained notoriety because she's attractive, mostly. She's gained notoriety because she's attractive. And people want to follow her. They look at her and go, oh, I want to be like her. Like she could be a social influencer if she weren't a politician, correct? So here she is getting ready to do one of her selfies. And she pulls the side of her mask off. And it's for a split second, it's dangling on her left ear. And then she goes, ah, take the mask off. She goes, oh, it's disgusting. Forget about that. And then she goes on and talks. Well, what she doesn't realize is how disgusting her mask is. It's seriously one of the most disgusting. I don't want to be within 6 feet of her mask. Forget the virus. This woman is gross. All right, it's gross. Yes, some of it on the inside of the mask was makeup. Some of it was lipstick. You could see that. The color, the red color stuff, that's her lipstick. Because she puts it on heavy and then puts her mask on and it gets on her mask. There's like all across the bottom where it drapes across her face is like oil stained. It's dirt. It's scum. It's gross. It's sweat. It's oil. It's disgusting. It's one of the grossest things I've seen. And it became crystal clear to me at that moment that the left will go to all means possible to control you, right? There, if you don't think that her wearing that over and over and over with the germs, the dirt, the oil, the makeup, all the disgusting crap that is inside this really thick mask, you can't see any of this from the outside. It is disgusting on the inside. I mean, it's so gross, you would never let your kid wear it. You'd scream at your teenager for having a mask that dirty. You'd order them to go clean it up, get a new one, do something. It's so gross. I can't even describe how gross the inside of her mask is. There's a freeze frame of it out there. You can find the video on the computer, but she doesn't care. It's all about the virtue signaling. It's all about the control. You're going to wear masks. There is no doubt in my mind. I don't need to be a scientist. I don't need to be a doctor. I don't need to be any of this stuff. That for her health, wearing that disgusting mask is worse for her than being around 3 feet away from people who are speaking to her without masks. There's no doubt. We now have the CDC saying this thing doesn't work outside, walking by people outside, being close to people outside, that you can't get the virus. You just can't. Yet we still have places where you have to wear your mask outside. This is beyond insane at this point. Complete insanity. And it just between this mom and what she said about these kids, between knowing what our own CDC is telling us about 2-year-olds and up in this country, when it's 11 and up in France, for crying out loud, and the UK, and this mom and AOC's disgusting mask. I mean, there's no question that is worse for her health than walking around without a mask. That cannot be good for a human being. It cannot. To breathe in all that dirt, grime, dust, oil, makeup, ugh, spittle, just disgusting. I mean, it's so gross, you'll never look at AOC the same way. If you see the inside of her mask, you will never look at her the same way again because she looks clean. And clearly, she's not. Clearly, hygiene ain't her thing, and she really doesn't care that it's all just slap some makeup over it and look good for the camera, and the rest of it doesn't matter. She must be one dirty human being. Truly. I mean, just like a dirty person. Disgusting. There is no way I could ever wear that mask. If I saw just a little bit of dirt gathering in a white mask, I'd be washing it. It's gross. I mean, it's unbelievable how bad that was. She didn't care. She's running around telling you to wear your mask, even if that's bad for you, to have all that gross stuff in there that you're just breathing over and over and over. I mean, unbelievably gross. In Johnson County, we talked about this last week. We had Charlotte O'Hara on. And she told us that nobody's been fined, no individual or business has been fined in Johnson County for not wearing a mask. So they're not enforcing their own mask mandate. The head of the commission, the chairman of the commission of the Board of Commissioners, Ed Eilert, who's a former mayor in Overland Park, has reached out to the health director in Johnson County and says they will vote next week. April 29th will now be the vote on what they do with their mask mandate, which expires April 30th. And it's pretty clear now that they will have in Johnson County a recommendation to wear masks, but not a mandate. So it's going to be over April 30th, where I live and spend most of my time. A lot of you, I've heard from, live outside of the city. I went to Clinton, Missouri last week, Harrisonville, been to some different places around Paola, where my sister lives. They don't have or enforce any mask mandates. You don't see masks there very often. This is mostly uniquely a city thing in the United States. Places outside of cities in the United States are not really wearing masks. Not very many places. There would be some liberal type places where you might see people in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado, for example, in some of the smaller communities there wearing them. But those, again, are people from the cities vacationing there. I drove through New Mexico, and it seemed like New Mexico was pretty liberal. And in some of the rural areas there, you still saw some signs at truck stops and stuff, you know, put your masks on, whatever the state of New Mexico says to do it. And people were. But that was a couple of months ago as well. But this thing's ending. Here's the raw numbers in Johnson County. 60% of people over 50 have the vaccine in Johnson County, Kansas. 60%. Heck, I got to think 20% of the people over 50 don't leave home, that they're kind of shut-ins, that they're really old, groceries are delivered, somebody cares for them, that this is not, they're not going to get the shot, they're not doing anything, but they don't go anywhere. It's unfortunate that people live that way, but they choose to live that way when you're older. A lot of people get in their 80s and 90s, and they just don't leave home. They don't want to leave home. They don't want to do anything. They want to live their life. I had an aunt that was this way. She probably spent the last 15 years of her life and never left home. Her son brought her things. People took care of her. She lived on her own in the house she was in forever. She just never wanted to leave again. She didn't want to put makeup on. She didn't want to go do anything. There's a lot of people like that. Unfortunately, that's the case. Those people aren't going to get vaccinated. So if 60% of people over 50 in Johnson County have now been vaccinated, what percentage of people over the age of 50 that actually go out have been vaccinated? 70%? 75%? 60% of the deaths in Johnson County since in 14 months, since the pandemic started, 60% of all deaths occurred in nursing homes, people that don't go out. People that don't go out. 60% of all deaths in Johnson County. 644 total deaths in 14 months. 644. Tragic that 644 people died. But we know that the majority of those, 60%, were in nursing homes. So what's that? 400? I'm rounding around. 400? It's about 400. 400 of the 644 deaths were in nursing homes. We got about 240, 250 deaths where I live in a big county, big populated county, Johnson County, Kansas. In a big populated county, we've lost about 240, 250 people that were not in nursing homes. That's over 14 months. None of these people were kids. Almost all of them were over 55. Those that weren't were obese or had or preconditions. We quickly identified who those people were, and the numbers have come down. I mean, we're already starting to ask the question, was all this worth it? Was it worth it? I mean, it's unbelievable. So, yes, Johnson County, it's over. The mask mandate is over. And I'm done. I'm done. I'll keep it in my pocket. I'll keep it around, but I'm done. I get some looks, and I don't care. I get some looks, and people know who I am, and I don't care. I don't care. If that bothers them, they shouldn't be going out, and they damn sure shouldn't be telling me how to live my life. When you leave your house, you have no right to tell other people how to live. You have a right to report a crime. If somebody commits a crime against you, this is not a crime. There is no law that says you have to wear a mask. They are not enforcing the so-called mandate. They're not. There's nothing they can do. If people look at you or engage you, that's on them. I went through Walmart a couple of days ago, and the man working the counter behind his mask and a giant plexiglass thing was trying to ask me why I didn't have a mask on. I said, I can't understand you. I said, what? He's like, I said, I can't understand you. You're behind a mask and behind the plexiglass. Can I lean across? And what was his deal? Yes. Now I lean from behind the plexiglass, which is protecting him from me with no mask on, so I can hear him get on me about not wearing a mask. He says, why aren't you wearing a mask? I said, because I don't, you know, he said, do you have it? I said, yeah. He said, why aren't you wearing it? I said, because I don't want to. That's all I said. And he looked at me and he goes, you should wear your mask. I said, thanks. Duly noted. I bagged up my stuff and I left. That's fine. You have your opinion, but you really don't have a right to tell me what to do. I'm not walking around telling people to take their masks off. See, this is the difference. As I'm not wearing a mask for 8 days, I'm not walking in places saying, take that off. You don't have to wear that. It's just a mandate, not a law. Take that off if you want. Take that off. If I stood up in any retail location and said, who in here, if there wasn't a mandate, would not be wearing their mask? At least half the people would raise their hand and say, I wouldn't be wearing mine. So we're all just complying. We're guilty of a lot of this. Conservatives are to blame. We go along with what they throw at us because we're law-abiding citizens, because we're good people, because we were taught to do the right thing. But if we've not learned anything from all this, as a voter group, as Americans, if people couldn't figure out over the last 14 months that them telling us what the right thing to do is not really the right thing, then I don't know what. Fauci himself said no mask. Then he said one mask. Then he said two masks. He doesn't know. There's a Stanford study that said masks do nothing but hurt you. That the filth, the scum inside AOC's mask is worse for her than the exposure to COVID. And that's true because guess what? She was never going to get sick from COVID or die from COVID. She's young and healthy. She's not at risk at all. This is just crazy. And thank God for people like Courtney Ann Taylor. Just regular folks that worry about their kids and their kids' well-being, that know it's not normal to scare your child for life, to be afraid of the other kids, to be afraid of people, that the world is a dangerous place, that you could die, that you must wear this. Those children are not at risk. They're not at risk. We're scarring people for life. We complain about indoctrination. We complain about education in the schools, turning everybody into liberals. That's what this is. This was teaching every kid in America to comply with liberalism, to ignore the Constitution, to ignore your freedoms and liberties, which they don't teach in the schools anymore anyway, that you will comply with the higher moral authority that tells you how to live. We're teaching them as five-year-olds to wear a mask at kindergarten. It's all liberalism. That's exactly what this is. There is no justification for a five-year-old in kindergarten wearing a mask. None. And don't give me this teachers union crap that it's to protect the teachers. All right? It is also proven that the kids will not transmit to adults. They're out of the equation. They're not part of COVID. Thank God they're not. Can you imagine a virus that wipes out children and not adults? How tragic that would be? Can you imagine the reverse, the 180-degree polar opposite of a virus that we've never seen before that is the opposite of this, that doesn't affect old people or people in nursing homes, but kills kindergartners? Can you imagine what we would have? You want to talk about a tragedy? There's a tragedy. I've said it many times about my mom, and I guess she means it. I've never been 87, so I don't know. She said early on in the pandemic, hey, if this gets me, it's what gets me. I've had a great life. And she's otherwise healthy, right? And then as it got closer to the vaccine and she knew she could get the vaccine, she changed her tune. She locked herself down the last few months and said, I can't wait to get the shots. And now it's all good. And we're going to a Royals game and we went to Culver's and I take her wherever. And she'd really, at 87, rather not wear her mask. It's not real good for her. It's not real convenient for her. And I can't wait. I'm going to take her out. They changed this thing on the 29th. We are going out. What is that? Next Thursday? I'm taking my mom next Friday. We're going somewhere without masks. I can't wait, and she's going to like that. God bless Courtney Ann Taylor, and that's gone viral, and everybody's going to see it. And she is far better at this than anybody with a podcast like me, anybody on television, anybody writing stories, she's awesome. She's just flat out awesome. All right, a couple of other news items here, and these are fun. These are real fun. JetBlue is coming to Kansas City. JetBlue is an airline out of the East Coast. I flew JetBlue once. From where did I fly it? I flew it from Jacksonville to Miami, I believe. Yes, Jacksonville to Miami. Yes, we were going on vacation after we visited my sister in Jacksonville, and we flew to Miami to connect on. No, that is not what we did at all. We flew it from, we drove from Jacksonville to Orlando. We flew from Orlando to Nassau in the Bahamas. That's what we did. Orlando to Nassau on JetBlue. Terrific airline. We had a great experience. We're like, wow, wish we had this in Kansas City. Initially, all JetBlue is going to do is fly to New York and Boston, but I'm sure they'll add some nonstops to Orlando because they're big in Orlando, and that Mickey Mouse thing's a pretty big deal. They're going to start about a year before the new terminal is open, but JetBlue has big plans for Kansas City, I would guess. They're mostly an East Coast airline, but they fly everywhere to the East Coast nonstops. They were a good airline. It was quality. It was great. And they're a big deal in the Northeast. So this will be interesting. We have 65% travel capacity now at KCI compared to pre-pandemic. So that means January, well, right before the virus started or the COVID, whatever, February of 2020, we're now at 65% of the air traffic that we had then. That's pretty good. I haven't flown, this November, it's been a year and a half since I've flown. Year and a half since I've flown. November of 19 was the last time I was on an airplane. And we're getting ready to fly to a wedding in June of friends of ours. So I'll be back on an airplane. Airplanes aren't that comfortable for me anyway. Sitting there with a mask on just sounds horrible. I'm sorry. I know I'm a wuss and I make too much of a deal of the masks. I don't like them. But I've always been a broadcaster that cleans the microphone every day before I start because other people have been spitting on it. I like breathing and speaking and enunciating, and I'm pretty much an alpha male when it comes to that. You hear me speak, you know. And I know that when I speak, sometimes I spit. I know because when you're a broadcaster, it almost always happens. You can't always broadcast without at some point some spittle going flying, especially when you say words like spittle. It's true. But sitting for 3 hours on a hot airplane with my mask on just sounds awful. So, I don't know what the rules will be in June. I don't know what I'm getting into. It's a nonstop flight. They've moved the wedding from out of the country to in the country. It's going to be in Florida now, which is great because Florida's open. And I think they made a really good decision to move the wedding because people who go now can have fun and not have curfews and restrictions and all these things. It's going to be in Florida. A lot of people are doing that. It's a nonstop flight. I'll make it. It'll be fine. But JetBlue's coming to Kansas City for what it's worth. Also, McDonald's in Tennessee. This is all the McDonald's in Tennessee. McDonald's in Tennessee, over the next 6 weeks, plan to hire 8,000 employees. 8,000 McDonald's jobs in Tennessee. Restaurant business came roaring back in March. 175,000 new jobs nationwide in the restaurant business. That is outside of fast food. Taco Bell is hiring about 10,000 people nationwide. McDonald's in one state is hiring 8,000 workers. Here's how crazy it is. We talked about our friend Chris out at B-Stock. He's trying to hire employees, man. They're selling Microsoft Surface computers and TVs and stuff out there at such a rapid rate right now. They can't get enough staff. He says, we can't get people hired. If you want a job, call B-Stock. They're hiring. Everybody's hiring. I went by a Firestone Auto Care Center the other day. They had a sign out front that said $3,000 signing bonus. Come work for us. $3,000 signing bonus at Firestone Auto Care. That was in Shawnee that I saw that. Nuts. In South Florida, McDonald's in South Florida are paying $50 cash to just come do an interview. If you show up for an interview, we will give you $50. So this is the old timeshare scam, right? This is, hey, come take our 3-hour tour and we'll give you jet skis for 2 hours, or we'll send you to dinner to the steakhouse or whatever. You just have to listen to the 3-hour sales pitch and we'll pay you something worth $300. That's what McDonald's is doing. Come listen to our sales pitch of how we're going to teach you to cook French fries and work back here, and we'll just give you $50 for listening. That's not interviewing. It's recruiting. It's amazing what's going on. I mean, it's crazy. And it's all happening in April when we have what is called a pink moon. Have you ever seen a pink moon? I've never seen a pink moon. And you won't see a pink moon this April. They call it the pink moon, which is nice. You know, we get it sounds really good, right? The pink moon. It all sounds really, really nice. We love the pink moon. It's not named after the color of the moon. There's a weird full moon in April that because of stuff in the atmosphere, debris, dust, dirt, whatever, since the beginning of time, in the middle part of the United States, you know, where it can be dusty, to be honest, when it's not raining, there could be a lot of stuff flying in the air. There's always been an unusual looking full moon. And the indigenous folks that were here before we were, God help me for the guilt that I have that I live here. The indigenous folks named it the pink moon because the full moon that looked a little different because of things in the atmosphere, in the air, it occurred every year when the pink flowers bloomed. That's it. The pink moon. If you've heard of the pink moon, it's named after flowers as they bloom in April every year, not the actual color of the moon. If you ever wondered why the moon wasn't really pink when it's supposed to be a pink moon. Spoke with my buddy Ron Buck yesterday. They're completing the roof on our new house in Lenexa. Ron was on the job as he is every job he has. He goes to the site every day. He has a supervisor stay on the job every day. So not only is the owner there every day, he has all these crews, and each crew has this supervisor that stays all day. That is very rare in the roofing industry. Most roofing companies have a supervisor or an owner or something like that that sets up the crew in the morning, lets them work, they drive away, they go visit different sites. That's what Ron does. He visits every site, but every site he visits has basically a member of his management team on site overseeing the crew every day. There were 6 people working on my roof. They're putting my new roof on in 2 days. They work long days. They get the job done. They make it clean. They make it right. This thing is a machine. It is impressive to watch them work. Now, my job's a little faster because it's a new roof. They didn't have to tear the old one off, you know, fix anything on the ply board and all the roof materials that are up there. That was all up there and ready for them. When they arrive, they're just putting on the roofing system. So that doesn't mean you're going to get your job done in a day and a half or 2 days, but I think they worked like 11 hours yesterday, and they're going to be done by lunchtime on Friday. Unbelievable. And Ron's the best. And we started chatting and we're friends. And he says, I'm getting a couple emails a week from listeners of your podcast. And it's awesome, man. Thanks. I said, no problem. The rates are going up, Ron. Rates are going up. If that's what's going to happen, the rates are going up, right? So anyway, you're finding what I'm finding, that Ron Buck is responsive. He's on it. They're professional. They're honest. And they do a lot of work or give free roof inspections for free or no money, waiting for the day when you actually need a new roof, saying that's when you'll get the new roof. They'll do your small repairs. They've got crews that walk or go around every day and repair roofs. They have that. Very small repairs to big ones. Maybe you need a whole section of your roof replaced, but not all of it. That a tree fell or something like that. That happens a lot of times. Just good, honest folks. And I'm so thrilled that so many of you are reaching out to Buck Roofing. They're online at rbuckroofing.com. You can send them an email if you have a request for an inspection or an estimate or anything of that nature. You can call 384-2680. Sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. Fry Orthodontics, 12 locations in Kansas City. Free retainers for life, and Invisalign is the same price as braces. That's new. You should also know, and it's been a while since I've told you, that Dr. Jeremy and his family, his entire family, his dad before him and now him and the entire family, are about as philanthropic and charitable as anybody in Kansas City. It is remarkable their commitment to giving back. Fry Orthodontics has branched out. They're not just in Kansas City. They're all over Missouri now. They're in Arizona. They're in different states. This is becoming a really big company that reaches young people and gives them great smiles for life. Everywhere they do work, they do free braces programs. They don't really advertise it. They don't really want a lot of people talking about it. He doesn't ask me to talk about it. I just know about it, and I'm just telling you who these people are. They do free braces for kids that can't afford them. And I've said it a few times in this podcast, if you know somebody that has a child, a teenager, maybe that doesn't have a perfect smile, that needs braces or Invisalign and doesn't have the wherewithal to pay for it, call Fry Orthodontics and nominate them. Just nominate them. Nobody will know. They don't make a big deal about it. When you walk in there and you're at your appointment, nobody knows. You're the family that couldn't afford to pay. Nobody knows this stuff. They just get the work done. It's amazing. Don't consider anybody else for braces or Invisalign than Fry Orthodontics, because their commitment to this community and every community they're in and the great work that they do, and now they're offering free retainers for kids who are going to lose them and Invisalign for the same price as braces. I honestly just think that the company has been really successful, and Dr. Jeremy's at a point where it's time to give back. It's just time to give back. Amazing. Fry Orthodontics, your smile is just the start. And Joslyn's Jewelry, here comes Mother's Day. Here comes Mother's Day. You better get on it, Joslyn's Jewelry, if you want something shiny. Joslyn's Jewelry is the answer for that. We also mentioned the Mother's Day package earlier in the podcast at cbd-gc.com. $175 package for Mother's Day for mom for just $125 right now at cbd-gc.com. So hook them up. Mother's Day's around the corner. You better take care of that. Okay, here's where we find out what the Royals are. The Royals this weekend play the Detroit Tigers. The Detroit Tigers have the most losses in all of baseball. Many people called for Detroit to have the worst record in baseball. Some called for the Rangers. Colorado's off to a terrible start. They've lost 12 games. The Tigers are 7-12. They have the worst record in the American League. There is every likelihood that the Tigers and Rangers will vie for the honor of most losses in the American League this year. So, the Royals are 10-7. They're in first place. This is where the rubber meets the road. Isn't that what they say in sports? Or over the road trucking or whatever it means? I don't know. But this is it. This is the series where you got to go fatten up. The Royals have to have a winning record against the Tigers this year. The Royals need to go like 4 or 5 games, bare minimum. Let's call it 4 games. Bare minimum, 4 games over 500 against the Tigers this year. Now, is it tougher in your division? Yes, teams know each other. You learn tendencies quickly. You play each other 17 or 18 times or whatever it is. You play each other all the time. But the Royals got to find a way to go 4 games over 500 against Detroit. That begins this weekend by winning this series. This is a series you can't lose. You want to win the division, you don't lose this. Like the White Sox and Twins are going to fatten up against Detroit. They are. The team, I promise you, the team that wins this division will have a winning record against Detroit. Detroit's as bad as the Royals were a couple of years ago. Go do it. Stretch this thing out. Go win the series. Fatten up against the Detroit Tigers. And it sounds simplistic and silly, but it's absolutely true. You know, it's the same in football. We watch the NFL. If you're going to win your division, you beat the teams in your division, and you darn sure sweep the worst team almost every year. I mean, look at the Patriots all these years that they won the division. What'd they do? 4-0 against the Jets and the Bills. For how long did they? And every now and then they'd split with Miami, but there were plenty of years they just swept through their division. That's what the Chiefs have now been doing for 7 or 8 years. They've been great at this. But you always pick on the weakest team. You don't lose to that lad. The team that goes 4-12 in your division, you don't lose to that team. Good division winners don't lose to that team. They can every 5 or 6 years maybe get knocked off, but that's the equivalent here in baseball. The Royals are going to play the Tigers. They're not good. They don't have much going on. They're a couple 3 years away, maybe more. Let's go win this series. They got to play better ball. They got to play better defense. They got to stop throwing it around. You know, the Royals got to stop falling behind. This is where you do it. You do it against teams like this. There's not great pitching there. It's not a good team. Tigers are already 5 games under and lead the league in losses. So the Royals got to fatten up right now, beginning in Detroit against the worst team, potentially the worst team in the American League, but I think certainly the worst team in the division. Does anybody that listens to this podcast, do you like mock drafts? I mean, does anybody really that listens to this podcast, I'm curious, do you go? Reach out to me if you do. Because God bless you. I've seen some services now that have done like 20 mock drafts, and all they do is move the shells. You know, it's a shell game. It's still the same players in the first round. They just move them to different teams and numbers. And this gets people to click on computers and read. This works. This has to be something for very young sports fans that they're into. It has to be. The Kansas City Star has done 3 mock drafts. It must get clicks, or you wouldn't keep doing them. I suspect there'll be another one right before it starts. I can't think, I mean, I pick on weather people all the time, and they're scientific. They know. They see the models. They see the weather coming. They have all these machines. They're pretty good at predicting the forecast. They're pretty good at it, right? You can't predict a draft if you try. First of all, we don't really know the order because there's going to be trades. I can't think of anything less fulfilling than if my job were to sit here today instead of doing this podcast to go through and figure out a mock draft and put it up on my website and then sort of act like I'm standing by it. I just can't even imagine something more futile than that. A waste of time. And it was fun when the Chiefs were bad and they were picking first or 17th and trade or wherever they were and traded up to 10 and you knew they were looking for a quarterback. Those were fun. Now the Chiefs are the best team in football. Drafting 31st is not fun. And I'm not going to waste or spend any time on who they're going to pick because 30 players are going to be gone unless they trade up, which they may. Chiefs are very aggressive in the draft. I like that about them. And if they want to trade up, go. My gut tells me that the Chiefs are not, despite what happened in the Super Bowl, they are not going to change their philosophy. Their philosophy is we will have the best skill position players on offense in the NFL, and we will beat people with that. That is not drafting a left tackle at 31. Last year, they drafted a tackle Yang in the third round, right? So this should be an excellent player. They believe he could be the left tackle. Andy Reid has commented that there are four candidates in-house that could possibly play left tackle. And now they're outwardly speaking, as I said, the day that they ended their careers here, or it looked like they ended their careers there, the Chiefs are not making any bones about it. We're more than happy to re-sign Eric Fisher or Mitch Schwartz. We're not saying those are retired players. We're saying is, for cap space, we had to get them out of their current contracts. If they want to stay here, we're open to that. I've thought all along Eric Fisher's going to remain a Chief. He's made a pile of money. The Chiefs stood by him the first couple of years and paid him a lot of money when he wasn't very good. He's got a really bad injury that he may not be available to play this year. If he is, it will probably be something like November before he can, or December. But you know what you take? You take a healthy Eric Fisher, starting his season December 1st, wouldn't you? For the last four regular season games in the playoffs, would you take that? I would. I'm not ruling Eric Fisher out. I'm not. What you don't know is, how's the thing progressing? What are the doctors saying? What's the timeline? The Chiefs know what they're doing here, folks. And I don't think they're certainly not going to trade up for a left tackle. I mean, unless nobody takes a left tackle and the best one in the draft falls to 22 and the Chiefs can move up nine spots and say, well, gosh, this is the first left tackle on our board. We can go get him. Maybe they will. If not, I think they're going wide receiver. I do. I think you have to start looking at the probability that Tyreek Hill has 2 or 3 years left where he's the fastest guy at that position. And when he becomes the 10th fastest receiver in the league, what is Tyreek Hill? That doesn't mean he can't be a good player, but certainly not a game breaker. So Mecole Hardman's a nice player, but he's not the game breaker Tyreek Hill is. I think the Chiefs are going to be looking for skill positions. I think they like Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I don't think they'll go running back again. I think they like him and think he can be better than the other running backs, but you don't have Patrick Mahomes and not continue to replenish the receiving core. I think they could go there. We'll see. I don't like mock drafts. Beyond that, who knows? They're going to get depth on the line. They're going to draft linemen. They should draft linemen. They should draft somebody that's capable of playing left tackle, but not necessarily at 31. Although if they think the third tackle, if only two tackles have been taken, but the one that's available they think is the best, they will. And these are things that you can't do mock drafts. You just can't. You don't know who's going in front of them. You just don't know what's going on. Good luck. That's next week. And we will not be doing a mock draft here at KKHI. Sorry if I let you down on that one. Tom Brady has spoken out about the Chiefs' new rule. The Chiefs proposed a rule to the NFL, and the NFL adopted it, about changing players' uniform numbers. Wide receivers can now wear single-digit numbers, things like that. Brady says, good luck figuring out who to block now, because the linebackers are going to have different numbers. You won't be able to tell the difference between somebody who's in the secondary and a linebacker, things like that. Tom Brady says this is going to lead to bad football. This is a horrific decision because the blockers on your offense know by number, you know, who's a linebacker, who's in the secondary, whatever, and that's how they key a lot of their blocks, especially downfield, by seeing the number. when they go into the film room, they don't really study name. They know some players' names on the other team. They study numbers each week. And he says it's going to be confusing. Now, I don't know if this is self-serving, if this becomes confusing for Brady, looking downfield and seeing a corner's number versus a linebacker or whatever. I don't know. I suspect it's going to be tougher for Brady. And what he is suggesting is this is a disadvantage to the offense. And so when I heard this, I started thinking to myself, why would Tom Brady be concerned about numbers changes? And if this is bad for the offense and going to lead to bad football, why would Andy Reid and the Chiefs be proposing this? Because they must know this too. And I think I've nailed it. I was thinking just the opposite, but sometimes you have to flip things around in reverse or look in the mirror and say, wait a second, what am I missing here? Why would Andy Reid propose something that could be difficult for his quarterback or his blockers? And it occurred to me that Andy Reid, in his own self-scouting as a coach, understands that his weakness is defense. He's got a coordinator in place. The Chiefs' defense has made tremendous strides, but that he has an unbelievable advantage in every game they play offensively. But what if I take the other team's offense and put them in a position where it's more difficult for them to play against us? I'm not worried about my offense. I'll coach us through this. We'll figure out what the lesser offenses don't. And it will make our offense even better than their offense. And if we do that, that's an advantage for us. It basically makes our defense better. Chiefs defense against an offense that can be confused makes the Chiefs defense better. Andy Reid in no way, shape, or form is thinking like Tom Brady. He is not thinking like Tom Brady that, uh-oh, this is going to be confusing for my quarterback and we're not going to know who to block. Andy Reid is thinking, I'm going to coach this right into these guys. We're not going to miss a beat. We're going to be the same. While Tom Brady's over there worried about all this, we're going to be the same offense we were, but there will be offenses and quarterbacks around the league that won't adapt to it. It must be what it is. That must be what it is. Because I don't think Andy Reid would be behind a rule change that makes it harder for his offense. He's clearly convinced of something Tom Brady is not, that there will be no bad football by the Chiefs offense. There will be no confusion, and there will be no, as Brady tweeted, good luck figuring out who to block. That was his exact quote. I don't think Andy Reid's thinking like that. I don't think Andy Reid's thinking, good luck to my guys figuring out who to block. I think he's going to coach it in them, and by doing this, his players like it, first of all. The players like it. The receivers want to have single digits. All these players want to go back to the number they wore in college. That's all they want. They want their college number. And that's what part of this was. But it certainly can't be a disadvantage for the Chiefs, or they wouldn't have proposed it. If you joined the patron program at KKHI, I did a patron podcast yesterday on a lot of different issues. I thought it was actually a pretty good podcast. And one of the things was right after Missouri was going back to the Big 12, we got on a patron podcast, we jumped on, and we talked about it. If you hadn't heard that Missouri's going back to the Big 12, you hadn't heard this? You haven't heard that Missouri's going back to the Big 12? It's only wrestling. So I'm teasing the audience a little bit here. It's only wrestling, but Missouri is now in the Big 12 in wrestling. And so on the podcast yesterday, I asked this question, and I'll ask you. I'd love some feedback if you're a Tiger fan. If the Big 12 went back to 12 schools instead of 10, would you want Missouri to rejoin the Big 12? This is a simple question, yes or no. Give me some feedback. Hit me on Twitter, send me the email, whatever it may be. Let me know what you think about Ole Mizzou. If the Big 12 goes back to 12 teams, would you like to go back? Missouri wrestling is in the Big 12. They were previously in the MAC. Big 12 wrestling is not really Big 12 wrestling. I think there were four or five schools that have it. The others don't. So they have an alliance with some teams out west. I think the wrestling team at Northern Colorado is in the Big 12. Some others like that, Mountain States. And now Missouri is in. And I think that's great. I think that's great. I would welcome Missouri back. Even if they didn't apologize for being boneheads and leaving, I would welcome them back because coming back would be the apology. I would not necessarily feel the same about Nebraska or Colorado or A&M. In fact, I'd never take A&M back. What this league doesn't need is more Texas schools. Big 12 does not need more Texas schools. I'd love to see, you know, Missouri and Arkansas come into the Big 12. I'd take that in a heartbeat. By the way, that would be a great move for Arkansas. It really would. Missouri and Arkansas in the Big 12 would work. It makes sense. It would work. And don't talk about the money stuff. It's all just ridiculous. The money stuff's ridiculous. It's about competition. It's about rivalries. It's about where can you win. Missouri and Arkansas are in a tough spot. I think it easily can be argued they both had more success athletically when they were in the Big 12 or the Southwestern Conference than they do in the SEC. So, look, it's about your fans. What do they have to root for? They want to win games. What's better for you? I'd take Missouri back in a heartbeat. I would never take A&M back, ever. I would. Colorado makes no sense to me, really. Nebraska, I'd need a pretty strong apology because they were the real muckrakers in this thing. They were the ones that were so sickened of the University of Texas that they had to leave and go to a conference where there's three universities of Texas. Not a good move by Nebraska. Not a good move at all. I would like to see the Big 12 get back to 12 schools. I think it makes an awful lot of sense, and they should get there. And finally, the PGA Tour is offering this $40 million purse. Have you guys seen this? $40 million next year for the top 10 players in sponsor and social media engagement. As of right now, here's the list. Somebody went down. There's a formula for how they tell this. So here's the list of who would make it. Not in order. This is not in order. This is who the 10 would be this year that would have split their pieces of $40 million. Tiger Woods, who isn't really going to play anymore. Rory McIlroy, who's playing his worst golf ever. Brooks Koepka, who's injured. Phil Mickelson, who's a non-factor on the regular tour now but wins on the senior tour. Justin Rose, who's from England. So that's part of it, okay? Adam Scott, who's from Australia. That's part of it. He's got a whole country rooting for him. Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, Dustin Johnson, all very good players, top players. And Ricky Fowler, who's not in the top 100 in the world. There's your 10 that would split the $40 million. I'm not sure I know what golf is doing. Most people in golf have said this is a great idea and they're doing the right thing. I think they're just handing money to the biggest names in the sports, saying don't break off and do something on your own. That's always been the threat in golf for the PGA Tour, is that the top golfers will branch off and do their own thing. These World Golf Championships only came about as a result of players saying, look, we're playing on the PGA Tour, but it doesn't give us a chance to compete against world players. There are players in other countries that are good too. We want to put something together where Greg Norman started this idea many, many, many years ago. We'll take the best players around the world and put them together in small tournaments. Maybe, you know, 40 players in a tournament, and the best players from around the world will have their three or four events that they go play outside of the PGA Tour. Well, eventually the PGA Tour caved on that. The World Golf Championships aren't part of the PGA Tour, but it's big for these players to expose their sponsorships and brands to a global market. It's the equivalent of the NBA in China, but it's not the same. You're just playing world golf events that are seen all over the world, that the top players are in it, and your sleeve gets seen, and your collar gets seen, and your bag gets seen, and you get seen. And that's what it's about. So they've done that. Now the PGA Tour is going to give bonuses to the players who engage most on social media and with sponsors. And there is your list. Okay, we're going to do a bonus pod coming up a little bit later on Friday. I'm not sure exactly when we'll post this, but I think you'll find it very interesting. It's Colonel John Cluck from he's the wing commander in St. Joe at the Air National Guard. And these guys are amazing. I've toured the facility. I've been in their airplanes. I used to have him on when I was on the radio show. They have an amazing air show next weekend in St. Joe. We're going to talk a little bit about the air show and what those great people do with the Air Guard there. They're phenomenal folks. The work they do is tremendous. Colonel Cluck is now the wing. I assume he's still colonel. I haven't talked to him in a while. He's now the wing commander of the entire operation there. We're going to have him on. We're going to talk about what they do for our country and how you can go to the air show. It's cool. The Thunderbirds are coming. Yes, they got the Thunderbirds coming next Saturday and Sunday. Really great stuff in St. Joe, and we'll have the wing commander on. So look for that bonus pod coming up for the weekend edition of Kevin Kietzman Has Issues. You guys are just killing it, hitting the follow, like, and subscribe button and sharing the podcast with other people. What helps more than any advertising or social media that I can do or anything is you. You're telling people, you're helping them. If they're older, they've never listened to a podcast, showing them how easy it is, and you're hitting that like, follow, and subscribe button for them so they get the notifications when it comes up every day. I can't thank you enough, man. It's growing and growing and growing, and you're awesome. And we're spreading that word. Kevin Kietzman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. For additional VIP-only podcasts, live streaming of breaking news, sports wagering tips from the experts, and in-person special events, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron for as little as $5 per month.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.